All right, if you want to turn with me to Proverbs, the 15th chapter. And this time you really are going to have to turn if you want to read it with me. Proverbs, the 15th chapter. And we'll kind of use this passage here as a jumping off point this evening. And we're continuing, of course, our series on principles from the Proverbs. And we're going through the book of Proverbs, really not from a chapter by chapter, verse by verse approach, but really the book oftentimes doesn't necessarily lend itself to that approach, but rather we're going through looking at various topics that are covered in the book. And we're just going to read a few verses as sort of an introduction tonight before we dive into our topic of managing material possessions. And several of the verses in this passage, this particular passage here, will have direct application to what we're going to be studying tonight too. So we'll look at Proverbs chapter 15, starting with verse 16. Proverbs 15, verse 16. The Bible says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble." And boy, we need to understand that, don't we? Money is not the answer to everything. And a lot of people who have money today don't have happiness. Now, money does not necessarily negate happiness if it's handled correctly, but there's sometimes this odd view that money itself brings happiness. It does not. Verse 17 reinforces this idea. "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred." And the idea is this: it's better if you just ate a salad all the time. Now, I'm not a salad person. I'm not a vegetarian person myself. But it says here, it's better if you just have a vegetarian diet, but love is present. There's unity. There's harmony. Maybe all you have to eat is vegetables. But the Bible says that's fine if there's love present. And if you have a fatted calf, that means all the hamburgers, all the steak that you can eat, and that's not good if hatred comes with it. And the atmosphere in which you enjoy the good things that God has given you really is the key, not particularly those things. And that atmosphere is not created by the abundance of possessions or even the lack of possessions that you have. You know, I've known plenty of people in my life who were poor, who would say something like this: "We were poor, but we didn't know it." You ever heard somebody say that? "We were poor, but we didn't know it." And what a tremendous testimony that statement is, you know? Why? Because love was there. Even though maybe they didn't have everything that some other family had or someone else had, or maybe all of the things they thought they might have needed, there are plenty of people who have all the wealth in the world, and with that wealth, it accompanies misery. Now, it doesn't have to be so. You can have wealth and happiness, but the Bible says that if you have to choose between one or the other, between wealth and happiness, we should always choose happiness and joy. Verse 18. "A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention." Verse 19, "The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns. The way of the upright is a highway." So it says the way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns. Now, what does that mean? Now, we're dealing today with material possessions. A lazy man is an individual who does not take care of his or her responsibilities. A lazy man, let me ask you this. Have you ever tried to walk through thick bushland or forest? I mean, maybe you've wandered off the trail and you've gone off into some kind of thick stuff and you always come across these patches of greenery that kind of block your way. And you can't go through them very quickly. Maybe they have thorns and thistles on them and things like that. And as you try to push your way through those those plants and things, those thorns, they kind of poke you and they prod you and it kind of hurts. And everywhere you turn, you get stuck. You get stickers in your hands and in your feet and all that. And it impedes your progress. And that's kind of what the Bible is talking about here. The lazy man, because he's not careful with his financial dealings, every time he turns around, he feels the pain of something because he's too lazy to take care of anything. And the thorns have enclosed him and kind of bottled him up. So laziness kind of brings a person problems that keep them from getting what they want. You know, his life has obstructions, in other words. The upright, by contrast in this verse, have a clear path with fewer problems, right? Their life is like a smooth highway. Nothing impedes their progress. Now we're going to look today at managing material possessions. Now the idea of material possessions not only includes money, but it goes beyond that into all the things that we own and that that are in our possession. Now we live in a day of unparalleled prosperity, don't we? I mean, the poorest of us today enjoys material blessings unknown to even people a few generations prior to us. Now think about this. Most people have a car. Most people have a mobile phone and things like that. And the hardships experienced by the poor today are kind of muted and blunted compared to the hardships that people experienced years ago. You know, I remember hearing a while back a radio program. I think it was in the U.S. A radio program where a man from India, they were interviewing him on the radio. And they said, why would you want to come to America? He was immigrating to America from India. And he had lived in a very poor section of India. They said, why would you want to come to America all the way from India? No, you left your family, you left your home, and why did you want to come to America? And his answer was pretty blunt and pretty particular. Here's what the man from India said. He said, because in America, even the poor people are fat. And he was impressed by that. Even the poor people are fat. You know, it's not really all that different here in Australia, is it? Not much different. But it's an indication that we are a materially blessed nation. And that is significant. And we know more blessings than any other generation ever has. But for many, the problem is not obtaining possessions, but rather managing those possessions. And in some cases, disposing of them. Now, I have known individuals who were so wealthy that they actually had to hire people to hand out their money, to manage their money and to give their stuff away. I know of a person who in the U.S. who runs a business, a very wealthy man, and he has a man on his personal staff, and it's that man's job simply to minister to pastors there in the U.S. And this particular individual buys cases of books, and he has a list of about 400 pastors, and they mail off books. You know, some of these pastors I know. How I'm not on the list yet, I don't know. I've been trying to get on it. But he has this list of pastors that he sends all these books to. He has a full-time guy on his staff who does that, simply hired to send out books. And they say, by the way, you know, Bill Gates really struggles with this. You know, he's so burdened down with his money that he needs help in giving it away. And that's why he's hired employees that are just there to give the money away. Wouldn't you love to be in a situation like that, huh? Someone figured out Bill Gates' net worth. And then they figured out how much money Microsoft brings in. And they made up an imaginary hourly wage for Bill Gates. And based upon Bill Gates' hourly wage, if Bill Gates is walking down the street and there's a $100 note lying on the footpath in front of him, it would be a waste of his time to bend over and pick up that $100 note. Can you imagine that? That's ridiculous. And we are a prosperous generation. Now, Solomon, who wrote many of the Proverbs, Solomon was a man of tremendous material holdings. And he presents timeless advice to us in these Proverbs for our attitudes and our actions regarding physical possessions. So why don't we take a look and let's see what advice he has to give us from the Proverbs regarding material possessions. Now, let's pause right now. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time in His Word as we look into it. Lord, thank You again for Your Word. Lord, impress it upon our hearts. Give us wisdom in this matter of material possessions as we study Your Word together in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, look at Roman numeral number 1. If you have a pen or pencil, you can write down the blank there. But this is our Roman numeral number 1. Recognize that God is the ultimate source of material blessing. Now, that should be pretty obvious to us anyways. God is the ultimate source of material blessing. Now, let's look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. And in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, it says there, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it." Now, listen to this. People who are Christian people and who have been blessed financially have a huge responsibility. They really do. And sometimes there's a tendency by people, even by Christians, other Christians, to look at people who have money and just kind of sneer at them. But listen, if God has blessed someone in a financial and in a material way, don't be that person's critic. Now, if God has given them those possessions for a purpose, and if they're a Christian, they should be willing to share the wealth and help people and do what the Bible says they should do with their resources, and not just hoard them. And hopefully they are doing that. But let's look at this. Point A in your outline. Point A. Material prosperity is sometimes the result of God's blessing. Notice I say sometimes. It's sometimes the result of God's direct blessing. And that's the case of Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, it says. Sometimes it is the result of God's direct blessing. Well, number one, under letter A here, God's blessing results in actual prosperity. Actual prosperity. Not this mirage of prosperity that you see today, really, brought about oftentimes by a lot of debt. Have you noticed that? Now, we're going to pause there for a moment. When we talk about material possessions, there are a lot of people who have in their custody a lot of things that really don't even belong to them. You know, I have a car in the U.S. That's kind of an example of that. I don't really own the car. I have a loan on the car. It's mine, per se, but it's also Teachers Credit Union. It also belongs to Teachers Credit Union. And I'm currently trying to pay it off to get it out of the possession, out of the clutches of Teachers Credit Union. They actually own the title to the car right now. And if you'd look at that car, you'd think, boy, he's got some money. Well, no. I owe a lot of money on that car. I've got a lot of debt, maybe. So many of us owe money on a lot of things. Many of us owe money on a house or a vehicle or furniture or something like that. And there are some people who owe money on just about everything they have. And the appearance of material prosperity in reality is a mirage. It's not wealth, it's kind of a facade. Now that is not particularly the direct blessing of the Lord. when it's incurred through something like debt. When God blesses, God gives us riches in actuality, not merely in appearance. Number two, material prosperity is not always an indication of God's direct blessing. Material prosperity is not always an indication of God's direct blessing. Now, I chose those words carefully, God's direct blessing. Now, of course, if you follow the principles of Scripture concerning finances, either knowingly or even unknowingly, you will probably succeed more than the guy who doesn't heed those, or doesn't either purposely or accidentally follow those principles. You'll probably succeed more than they will. But there are other avenues to material prosperity, aren't there? I mean, you could say hard work. That's an avenue to material prosperity. Inheritance. Sometimes you actually inherit wealth or prosperity from your parents or relatives or something like that. There are some people who inherit large sums of money. Investment. Investment can bring prosperity. Circumstances that come into your life can bring prosperity to you. Even dishonesty can bring prosperity, some level of prosperity. Now, some people become wealthy through dishonesty. Outward prosperity, then, is not always indicative of God's direct blessing. Now, some people God has directly blessed and prospered. Now, I think of an example of a guy I knew who was an auto mechanic. And he only had a grade 8 education. And he started a business, with an auto repair business, with just a couple of bays and in a garage. And he was a dear Christian man, and he grew that business into a huge building with 8 bays. And like I said, he was a good Christian man who put the Lord's work first. And he gave much of his wealth, much of the money that came in, he gave it away to help people. And as I understand, a traveling evangelist one time came to his shop. And at one point, he wanted to get his truck worked on. He was on the road and wanted to get it fixed. He was going to come. He left it with this mechanic, and he was going to pick it up in just a few days or something. And as the mechanic looked at this truck, as they looked at it, they found there were far too many problems with this truck to ever fix. It was just not going to get back on the road. And the garage owner thought, how am I going to break this to this poor evangelist? So you know what he did? He hopped in his car. He drove down to the local new car dealer, bought him a brand new truck with all the bells and whistles and things for something like, you know, $50,000 or more, which you don't think is a whole lot in this day and age, but it was then. And he just gave it to the evangelist when he came to pick up his old truck. And you could see the direct blessing of God on that man's life being poured out on his life and on his business, because he was so faithful in helping the Lord's work and helping God's people. And I think that would be an example of God's direct blessing. Well, letter B. God's blessing results in material prosperity that is free from anxiety. God's blessing results in material prosperity that is free from anxiety. Now look at, I hope you're still there, look at Proverbs 10:22 again. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. It is material prosperity that is free from anxiety. You know, when misery accompanies prosperity, you can pretty much assume that is not the direct blessing of God. Right? It didn't come directly from God. If you have anxiety, though you have lots of riches, don't consider that as a direct blessing of God. Because the Bible is more interested in your personal peace than it is your personal prosperity. I'll say it again. The Bible is more interested in your personal peace than it is with your personal prosperity. So Roman numeral number 2. Material things should be obtained through the right means. Through the right means. Now, by what means should a believer, someone who obeys the principles of Scripture, by what means should we obtain finances, material possessions, and things like that? Well, let's look at letter A. Very first one, hard work and honesty. Hard work and honesty. Turn with me to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Look at verse 11. Proverbs 13 and verse 11. Now, well, I'll actually be reading this in the new King James, because I think it kind of more accurately conveys the meaning here. Proverbs 13:11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Now, the New King James uses the word in place of vanity, dishonesty. But what does it mean to get wealth by vanity? Well, it implies something that vanity implies something that is unsubstantial or worthless. Now, the Old Testament often uses this very word for the worship of idols. You know, an idol, worshiping an idol, it's vanity, isn't it? It's worthless. It's unsubstantial. It doesn't help you at all. It is that which is unprofitable. Now, understanding that, let's go to point one. Wealth procured by vanity is fleeting. Wealth procured by vanity is fleeting. Now, that would include lots of things like pyramid schemes, the lottery, you know, different ways, get-rich-quick schemes, things like that. All such wealth vanishes almost as quickly as it comes. Now, listen to this, please. There is no such thing as easy money. There really isn't. There's no such thing as easy money. Easy meaning gotten by vanity or emptiness or through no effort of your own. Now, if you meet up with it, the Bible teaches us that money is rapidly diminished. You know, a while ago there was an investigative report on the curse of the lottery. And in it, they traced the lives of individuals who had won the lottery, millions of dollars through the lottery. And they found that these people, for the most part, before they won the lottery, they were nice, decent people. Until they came into these millions and millions of dollars, and when they did, they were completely ruined. And some of them ended... their marriages were ruined, their families were broken up, they ultimately ended up, many of them, in abject poverty and bankruptcy. Now why? Because the Scripture says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. Now why is this the case? Well, let's look at letter A. Letter A, easy money is not highly valued. Easy money is not highly valued. When it comes easily, it also spends easily, doesn't it? People who get a sudden windfall all of a sudden have a brand new list of needs and wants. Right? They usually indulge themselves too because they've got the money for it. Why? Because they're not valuing the money that they have. And I'll tell you what, we all kind of do that, don't we? Look at our day and age. Maybe we've never had a huge windfall ourselves. But wasn't there a time for most of us when, let's say, $100 was a huge amount of money? And now that we've become more prosperous, you know, we have good jobs, we have good incomes, we're a little more prosperous, $100 really doesn't mean so much to us. We could spend $100 like that at the grocery store or whatever. Now, listen, we should be careful because, to be truthful, $100 is still $100. The value has not changed, but our attitude towards it has changed. And sometimes we become careless with money. And we could spend $100 on the next new video game, right? And I know people who have. Letter B. Easy money does not include the financial lessons that come with work. Easy money does not include the financial lessons that come from work. Did you know work is a wonderful teacher? It teaches us a lot of things. You know, when God created in Genesis, when God created the Garden of Eden and He created Adam and put Adam in the garden, one of His first commands to Adam was to what? Was to tend and to keep the garden. You know what? That was work. God intended him to work. And then God said, after the fall, but in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. It means you're going to work hard. You're going to have to sweat. You're going to have to labor. And labor is good. And labor is healthy. And labor teaches us a lot of things. It's a good teacher. And it's good for young men to work hard. You know, the Bible says it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. That's from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 27. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. That means to perform hard work. You know, it comes with an education that books don't provide. Well, let her see. Easy money is typically temporary. Easy money is typically temporary. Why? Well, because it has no vehicle for replenishment. Think about that. Maybe it's driven also by unique circumstances that may be here today and gone tomorrow. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me give you an illustration here. If a person wins the lottery, let's say, and I pick on the lottery a lot, I know. Chances are that they'll only win it once in their lifetime. Now, I read a story about some guy who won it like four times or something, but that's not going to happen to us. Chances are you're only going to win it once in a lifetime. And many who win the lottery will blow it within months or just a few years after they get those millions of dollars, and they end up sometimes in worse financial condition than before they got it. And some people, okay, they strike it rich on some sort of speculative venture. You know, they hook into the next fad that's coming along, and they make a lot of money on that fad. But you know what? Fads come and fads go, and sometimes they disappear. And when that's gone, that vehicle for income is gone too. You know, there's no driving force behind the money, behind easy money. And listen, you probably already know this, but I'll say it anyways. You probably already know this. Don't ever fall for any of these silly internet offers. No, if someone sends you an email and you don't know them, they're probably not your friend. They probably want something from you. They're trying to take advantage of you. I don't know how many times I've had emails from some Nigerian prince who claims that he's a good Christian man and he wants to get rid of some of his millions and he wants me to be the caretaker of them. So what he's going to do is he's going to send through the banking system. He's going to send me these millions of dollars and I'm going to kind of take care of them for him and spend them. He says I can spend them any way I want to. All I have to do is send him a few thousand dollars for a handling expense. Well, that's not going to work. I get emails like this so often. And you know what's crazy? People will fall for this. There are people that fall for this, who will send the money. But I'll say it again. Easy money is never real money. Don't be fooled. Number two. Hard work and honesty ensure increasing wealth. Hard work and honesty ensure increasing wealth. Now let's look back at our verse again. The last verse we turn to. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. If we gain because we work, it is the increase of true wealth. The pain of labor teaches us the wisdom of thrift and the necessity of wisdom and thrift. And when you work for it, you appreciate it more, don't you? When you sweat for it, you're less likely to kind of dole it out on anything that by impulse. Because it took time and pain and labor and effort to amass all that much money. And you don't want to just throw it away like that. You know, a while back, here's another U.S. study. A while back in the U.S., a study came out that said students who earned their own way through university actually were more successful and valued their education more. Now, I keep trying to tell my kids that, you know. Earn your own way through university, huh? Well, the obvious reason would be, I guess, if you're investing your own resources in your education, you're going to want to do better. Right? You're going to want to attend all your classes. You're going to want to do all your schoolwork and do everything to get your own money's worth. I mean, that's part of it, yeah. There's certainly more of a sense of achievement that you got yourself through. But even apart from that, they found that just working a little, not too many hours, but just maybe working a few hours a week during the school year helped to develop a sense of time management and organization in these kids, which resulted in a higher grade point average. Even some employers, like McDonald's, right, offer scholarships to their employees to help out. And you know what? It's also a great benefit not to have to get all those student loans that they offer you and have to pay them back and be crippled with them for years after you graduate. You know, there are many blessings attached to good, honest work. It's part of God's plan for us. It glorifies Him. It teaches us a lot of life lessons, like how to appreciate the money that we've earned. There's also a sense of satisfaction. Now think about this. When you're at the dinner table and you look down on that food that's on the table and you realize that that is God's blessing on your life. That is God's reward for good, honest labor. You know, the Bible emphasis is on wealth gotten through labor, through hard work. Wealth is always available to those who are willing to work. Well, let's look at another means of gaining wealth here. Letter B, effective resource management. Effective resource management. Now, turn to Proverbs 14, if you would. Proverbs 14. Okay. Proverbs 14 and verse 4. And it says there in Proverbs 14 and verse 4, where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. Now think about that one. A clean or an empty crib, a trough, indicates that there's no oxen to feed. And if there are no oxen to feed, I guess you're free of the trouble of cleaning the trough. Every once in a while, and caring for the animals and having to feed them, and maybe expenses would be less. He's saving money and he's saving effort, right? But this so-called advantage is offset in the end of the verse, isn't it? Without the use of oxen, the verse implies that the harvest won't be great. To be productive, one has to use the appropriate means. For the farmer, oxen are indispensable. So a wise farmer is going to see to it that his oxen are numerous and that his oxen are in good condition. And that may mean a messy trough. That may mean the spending of money for food for the animals and things like that. But in the end, the increase is all the more. Even more increase comes in. Every successful effort in life involves obtaining and employing the resources that you have to multiply that return. So be careful with the resources that you have. It's always a great feeling to have fancy, shiny, brand new tools, isn't it? I'm more of a collector of tools than a user of tools. I don't know why, but I'll tell you what. It's nice to have those fancy new tools, and I will buy them from time to time. But if all I do is collect tools and never use them, then I won't get my money's worth out of them. I won't get return on my investment. So if I want to earn the money, so to speak, so that I can buy even more and even fancier tools, I need to put to work the ones that I have. And that means those tools won't stay new or even clean for very long. But the reward is worth it. Use your resources that you have for your advantage. What's another means of gaining wealth? Letter C, righteous living. Righteous living. And this, by the way, is for the long haul. Right? Look at Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24. We're going to look at verses 3 and 4. Proverbs 24, starting with verse 3. And there it says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. That brings us to number one, wisdom. And when we say wisdom, proper definition, the proper use of knowledge, is what I would say, wisdom, that is, the proper use of knowledge establishes a home. Wisdom establishes a home. It says, through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. So wise choices over the long term, wise choices will result in strong and stable homes, including financial stability. So what do we need? We need wisdom. And I especially employ our young people just getting started out in life and living on your own. Gain biblical wisdom for handling every aspect of life, especially your finances. Study these principles. Apply these principles. It is through wisdom that we can succeed in these areas of life. Number two. Knowledge is the key to material prosperity. Knowledge is the key to material prosperity. It says, by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And that's really what we're talking about today, isn't it? Following biblical principles. Knowing those principles. Principles like avoiding debt, being cautious with our money, giving to the Lord. That's a good one. Having a good work ethic. You know what? That's scriptural. Investment principles. They're found in the Bible. Multiplying investment returns. And then consumer principles. Now, what's that? Not buying things on impulse. Right? Being able to plan and understand what we're doing with our money. All of these conservative principles are taught in the scriptures. Righteous living will eventually accumulate wealth. But it comes, like I said, it comes over that long term, over the long haul. It's not instantaneous. Now, listen very carefully here. There is no prosperity theology found in the Bible apart from hard work and thrift. I mean, that's the prosperity theology of the Bible, right? Hard work and thrift. You know, you get these preachers on TV with the big Rolex watches dangling from their arms, and they declare, you know, if you send them $100, they'll send you some kind of prayer cloth or something, and you're going to prosper. That's utter baloney. You know, there's not anything about that in the Bible. But the Bible does teach that hard work and thrift, following scriptural financial principles will ultimately bring us financial success and a measure of material prosperity. But we have to follow them. Letter C. Easy money is typically Did I mess that up? I went to the wrong page. See that? Letter D. Humility and fear of the Lord. Here's another way of a means of material prosperity. Humility and fear of the Lord. Let's look again. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. We're going to look at verse 4 this time. This is our last verse. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. The Bible tells us there in Proverbs 22, starting with verse 4 here, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." Now, listen to this. It is not that God desires to withhold blessings from you, but maybe the fact that you have to put yourself in the place of God's blessing, obeying His principles, walking by His word. No, God does not bless everyone equally, but it is always fair, because God's blessings are contingent on our obedience to the principles of His word. And some of those principles in the word of God are really, if you think about it, immutable laws that God has set in this universe to make things work. And an unsaved person, even an unsaved person who doesn't know the Bible, but who by accident follows the principles that are found in the Word of God, because a lot of them are simply common sense, aren't they? They will find themselves prospering, not understanding that they're doing exactly what the Bible teaches. But my emphasis here is this. A right relationship with God, walking with Him, humility, fearing Him, that is a pathway to material prosperity, to material blessing. And not only that, but look at the end of the verse, to honor and life, a reputation and a name that is sterling and upright. And he says that is the way to life. Humility and fear of the Lord. Now, in the verses that we read as we opened up our lesson this morning, this evening, it says it's better, remember the principle, right? It's better to have a vegetarian diet and to be happy and to have love than to have all the steak in the world and have contention and hatred. Right? It's better to be satisfied maybe with the little that we have and to be joyful. Or as we heard before, it's better to be poor and to be so happy that you don't even know you're poor than it is to have everything in the world and be miserable. And when God blesses materially, the Bible says He adds no sorrow to it. Money doesn't have to make you miserable if it's a blessing from God. And there'll be no sorrow added to it. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your word tonight. Lord, thank You for its clarity. What wonderful principles. Lord, again, we've just barely scratched the surface today on this topic. But Lord, take the Word of God and help us to apply it to our lives in very specific ways, in the ways that You show us that we should. Lord, make us better stewards, more faithful with the thousands of things that You've surrounded us with, that You've given us. Lord, big things, little things, everything. And Father, give us thankful hearts for the material prosperity that we do enjoy. And Lord, make us careful to use it for Your honor and for Your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.